Brett Alexander, we need to talk about what Twitter is doing with regards to this Hunter story and the fact that Twitter and Facebook, and now it's looking like YouTube as well, are in the middle of a mass suppression of information, in a mass purge of information, in blocking of information. We have right now that we had a statement from Ted Cruz saying that he is now subpoenaed Jack Dorsey. On Twitter, there is actually, Twitter has gone through great lengths to actually put a message on the sidebar to say that the Washington Post has debunked the story of Joe Biden calling for the firing of the Ukraine prosecutor Shokin for favors, which is, it's crazy because we have it on, we have the exact words of Joe Biden saying, you're not going to get $1 billion unless you fire him. So I don't understand how they came up with this one. But we also have Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, who's been blocked and suppressed on Twitter. We have President Trump's tweets that have been blocked and suppressed on Twitter or have had warnings placed on them. Also, Tim Pool found out, I was watching a video of Tim Pool's, and he found out that a .gov Republican Judiciary Committee website tweet that said, because Twitter is suppressing the information from the New York Post, we have information on it on our .gov page, a government website. Twitter blocked that as well, put a warning on that as well. This means that Twitter is actually censoring the United States government. Facebook has been doing the same thing. Twitter has done a mass purge today. They said they're going to ramp it up over the next 2 weeks. Social media companies, in my opinion, I don't know, I have any other way to phrase this other than say they are waging war against the United States of America, against the U.S. government. I mean, I don't want to, once again, it's just my opinion. This is, I have no other way to phrase this or explain this, but this is an outright attack against the freedoms and liberties of the United States of America. And saying that, Alexander, guys, please share, like this video. Please look for us on Library's kind of their brother sister site, which is called Odyssey. They've kind of spun it off, but look for us there. Library, you'll find a link down below. BitChute, you'll find a link down below. We're creating a Rumble page as well, because a lot of people said Rumble. I'm still sifting through that. It's not so user-friendly, to be honest, but it has a lot of traction and a lot of people are on it, so I'm getting a page there as well. Red Pill Videos, which is our own repository of videos. Check us out there. Guys, it's the next 2 weeks. We're going to need your help to get us through this, because YouTube has declared on a blog post that they are now going to ramp things up. They're not backing down. Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, they're saying that they want answers from social media, and social media is essentially just thumbing their nose at them. They're thumbing the nose at the U.S. government. Jack Dorsey sent out a quasi-apology tweet where he says the censorship, and I'm paraphrasing, is unacceptable. But they didn't stop. They're still censoring, Alexander. This is it. This is it.
Well, I mean, Jack Dorsey's tweets, which, I mean, this just chain of tweets, which I actually read, by the way, I mean, it is not any kind of concession or withdrawal or even admission that anything that Twitter is doing was wrong. It simply attempts to clarify or explain why Twitter is doing it, and it's doing it in the most peculiar way. It's alleging that, you know, it doesn't circulate information that's been hacked. Well, we know that it does. It's done that before. Or information, you know, that is unverified. Well, so many things that have been said about Donald Trump have been unverified. The Steele dossier was unverified, if you remember. And that didn't prevent Twitter circulating it. So it's an attempt by Twitter to excuse and explain what it is doing when, of course, it is really, when you unpack it, no kind of explanation at all. What it is, and I'm going to say straightforwardly, is that this is extremely embarrassing information for the social media companies in the run-up to the presidential election. It puts Joe Biden in an extremely bad light. it casts into doubt the outcome of that election, which, as I said, all the stops are being pulled to get Joe Biden across the finishing line. And of course, what they're trying to do is they're trying in the old-fashioned way to bury bad news. They're trying to sort of suppress it, to keep the American people from knowing about it, to, silence those who are communicating this news. Can I repeat once again a point which I made in the live that we did recently on this very topic? There's been no denial from the Biden campaign that these emails that we have seen being published are true. The only denial we have had is that there is no record on Joe Biden's official register that he met with Vadim Pozharsky, this person who is in some way connected to Burisma Holdings. That's the only actual denial we have. And it's not denial that Joe Biden did meet with Vadim Pozharsky. It is a denial that there is an official record of that meeting, which is quite a different thing when you take a step back and think about it. Nonetheless, it's very embarrassing. It's very difficult. It puts Joe Biden in an extremely difficult position, and they're doing everything they possibly can to keep this bad news for Joe Biden, which could put his presidential prospects in jeopardy, to keep it off the media, to keep it off the news, to keep people, the American people, unaware of it. Now, you said it is an attack on the United States. The United States is a democracy. A democracy is a system of government by, for, and of the people. That's what a democracy is. The way the people express that those views is through elections. And the way they are able to participate in elections is because they are provided with all the information by all the various people who participate in the election that is possible. And one of the things that the founders, or rather the not the founders, but you know, the people of the United States decided very early on, and that is what the First Amendment is all about, is that there should be no restrictions on the information that is provided to the American people so that they can make up their minds in those elections. The founders realized that there is nobody in the world who has a monopoly on truth, that stories can be denied which are actually true, that stories can be said to be true which are not true, and that the only way of exposing what is true and what is false is by allowing free and circulation of information and news, with the American people themselves being the people who decide what is true and what is not, what they believe and what they do not believe, so that they can freely and properly exercise their vote in an election. That is the American way. That is the Constitution of the United States. That is the First Amendment to the Constitution. Note the very first amendment to that Constitution. What this is doing is going against all of that. It is trying to suppress bad news, control information, and do so in order to ensure that one person wins the election and another person does not. Now, that, it seems to me, is a direct attack, as you correctly said, on the constitutional and political and democratic system of the United States. And what Jack Dorsey said in his row of tweets in no way contradicted and disputed that. Now, I will mention very quickly what Ted Cruz and the Republicans in the Senate are now saying.
Can I issue a correction?
Yes.
On what I said previously, Alexander, just a quick correction because I misspoke. Two tweets. Graham says his committee will vote to subpoena social media companies over the New York Post Hunter Biden blocking issue. This will happen on Friday, October 23rd. Not that they're going to call in Jack Dorsey on the 23rd. They're going to vote. And Ted Cruz says that the Senate Judiciary Committee will vote on Tuesday to issue a subpoena of Twitter's Jack Dorsey. So I misspoke. They're on Tuesday, they're going to decide whether to bring in Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, I mean, they've had 4 years to do all of this. I mean, Donald Trump was elected 4 years ago. It was obvious from the first day of his election that the social media giants were opposed to him and that they were going to run every conceivable campaign that they could in order to prevent him, you know, functioning as president, and that they would support every conceivable, story or non-story. You know, what was all the Russiagate all about at the end of the day, which got huge saturation coverage in the media and social media. And the Republicans, whose power it was to do some things about it. Remember, in the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, the Republicans controlled both the Senate and the House of Representatives. The Republicans did nothing. And now, 3 weeks before the election, they've suddenly woken up to the fact that this is a problem. Far too little, far too late. The only possible way this can be sorted or fixed is if Donald Trump wins in November and is able to put it right. What is happening today, let's be frank about this, makes that less likely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to be around by the time November rolls around to give any information outside of the mainstream media and whatever alt, liberal, left, progressive channels, social media profiles, are around. Everyone else, it looks like everyone else is just going to be wiped away. I mean, this is the signals that we're getting. The New York Post is still locked, actually.
Yes.
In Twitter, they haven't backed down.
No.
As a matter of fact, they're actually ramping up.
The only thing I'm going to say is that, of course, I mean, people are not blind and they're not deaf, and they're very well aware of what's going on, and they can see it, and that might in fact incense more people, and it might in fact provoke more people to question indeed what is going on. I mean, that's a possibility which we mustn't discount. That is sometimes the way things work out. It may work out increasingly. It will work out increasingly over time. The iron rule is whenever you try to control information in this way, you lose control of it, always, invariably. That's always the case. But we're 3 weeks before an election. It becomes much more problematic that that can happen.
The fact that they're doing this is without a doubt it's election meddling.
Oh.
Without a doubt, it's a contribution in kind to the Biden campaign. Go ahead.
I mean, there may be legal consequences. I mean, there could be legal consequences to this. There could be court action. The problem is that's not going to happen in the next 3 weeks. Already, we're seeing that the Judiciary Committee is going to vote on Tuesday to subpoena Jack Dorsey. But that's only a vote. Then they have to arrange for him to come. He might refuse to come, remember? I mean, people have, objected to subpoenas before. It is inconceivable, all but inconceivable, that this can be resolved legally within the next 3 weeks. As I said before, the Republicans had 4 years to sort this out. 3 weeks before the election is not the time to do it. Just like we see this feverish activity over the last few weeks, releasing various documents that pertain to Russiagate, declassifying all of those documents. If that had begun 2 years ago, or even a year ago, it might have made a difference. Waiting until 3 weeks before the election, again, it's leaving it impossibly late. Now, it may still be the case. I'm not, giving up. It may still be the case that despite all of this, Donald Trump could win on the strength of, his campaign and his personality and his support in the United States. It's also quite possible that this could backfire and that in the end it will provoke a reaction against the social media companies, against the Democrats, against Joe Biden himself. It might make people in the United States, many people in the United States, start taking this story seriously, which arguably they weren't always doing before, and might make them think, well, maybe there is something to hide, because after all, they're taking such enormous and elaborate steps to hide it. But if that is the case, if all of those things do happen, it won't be because the Republicans because of Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, those two people and all of the others in the Senate have failed and failed completely in this matter.
Yeah, they completely failed. I think they failed on purpose. They failed. Oh. I think that the for me, the overarching lesson learned in all of this is that the social media companies were allowed to exist in such a manner because the intel agencies need them. I think it's ridiculous to start separating the two at this point in time.
Well, clearly.
You know, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Googles, the YouTubes, all these Snapchats, whatever it is, all these big listed tech companies, the Apples, we know from Snowden, we know from thousands and thousands of documents that the intel agencies need them and they need the intel agencies. Right. And so I think it was wishful thinking to believe that action was going to actually be taken against these big tech companies. But I believe that whenever there might have been some desire to do so, I don't think it was lobbyists. I don't think it was money being paid to senators. I think at the end of the day, it was the intel guys, the deep state guys, pulling people aside like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and all these guys and saying, look, you're not going to touch these big tech companies because touching them is touching us.
Yes.
I think those two groups need to exist together in order to
fail
all of us.
It's a symbiotic relationship. That's exactly what it is. I mean, the tech companies work as the information arm of the intelligence community to a great extent. I mean, that seems to me perfectly clear. But regardless of that, whatever the cause of this, whatever the thing that is behind it, the fact remains that this is not something that the founders who established the United States ever wanted to see happen. They were worried that one day it might happen. They warned against it. Benjamin Franklin said, you know, the price of liberty is perpetual vigilance. There is the First Amendment to the Constitution, which is there to prevent it happening. But the fact of the matter is, it is happening, and it shows the state of the United States.
Yeah, but my point on all of this is I'm going to take a much more cynical and pessimistic and dark approach to this. And that is that these are the same intel agencies that have been going after Trump from day one and even before.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, this is not a surprise.
No.
I mean, it's a shock to see this all happening so quickly. And I guess they weren't prepared to see this computer repairman with the hard drive given to Giuliani and Giuliani to the New York Post. I think they weren't betting on that. They were probably betting that they're going to carry Biden over the finish line and then get this mail-in ballot confusion, a little red mirage, and they were going to take the election. I think they had something like that in their mind. But I think this hard drive and all this information that we have has really accelerated their game plan. And I mean, this is, you know, Chuck Schumer's, what was his phrase? Six ways to Sunday or whatever, or twice on Sunday. That warning of his, I mean, we should have taken it at face value. He was serious.
But I always did take it at face value.
Yeah. He wasn't kidding.
It wasn't just a warning. I mean, it was actually something of a threat. If you take your mind back, I mean, that was very, very, very much what
a statement
was.
Of fact.
It was a statement. It was both. It was a warning, a threat, and a statement of fact. All those three. But the fact remains that, you know, you said that this is election meddling. Well, it is. I mean, it is certain social media companies trying to shape the narrative of the election. And I mean, even down to the fact that Twitter is now apparently claiming that the Washington Post debunked the claim that
Joe Biden, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I'm going to paraphrase it very well. Joe Biden, it never claimed to have. To have influenced the firing of the prosecutor for money.
Well, of course, he brought
fact-checked by the Post.
Yes, well, if that's what he's, is that what they're saying? I mean, then that isn't true because Joe Biden said it himself. He made a whole speech about it in 2018, by the way. So, I mean, but the point is, Twitter has no business, if you believe them, if you believe that they are a platform, making comments like that. A platform isn't supposed to provide comments. A notice board doesn't come up with its own, you know, notices. I mean, that's an absurdity. That's a contradiction. That is, to come back to a point which we've been making a long time, what publishers do. Publishers do that. I mean, newspapers do that. Journalists do that. They can come up with that kind of editorializing, if you like. But Twitter is now doing it, and it's being allowed to get away with it. It is able to get away with it. The thing that struck me about Jack Dorsey's tweets, if I can come back to them, is that, first of all, they were not really an explanation. They were not even a justification of what is happening. I thought they were two fingers up. They're saying, you know, we can do this and we're going to do it and basically stop you. That's the way I read it.
That's exactly what they're saying.
I come back, you know, you can't fix this 3 weeks before an election.
No, it's but they're important. Saying that.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to drive this, driving me crazy. Yeah. But they're saying this because they know they have the protection of the intel agency. In other words, if I have, I don't know, my generation, Mike Tyson in front of me, but in the back of me, I've got, I don't know, the Hulk. I'm just making stuff up off the top of my head, right? Just bear with me. Mm-hmm. And I go to Mike Tyson, yo, man, screw you. You're this, you're that. But I've got the Incredible Hulk right behind me.
Right.
Yeah, I can say whatever I want to him. I'm not going to care.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I mean, that's what they're saying. They're basically saying President Trump, Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, all you guys.
Yeah,
you know, stuff it, like you said, stuff it, because we are untouchable. And over 4 years, they've proven they are untouchable.
That's exactly.
And if I was Trump, Trump's big mistake, and Trump has definitely made a mistake here, is that he should have come up with some sort of executive order. Now, I understand the argument that's being made that he needed the Twitters in order to get his message out. In other words, he also had a love-hate symbiotic relationship with social media as well. But, you know, this was a game of chicken, and we're still playing a game of chicken. And the social media companies are not blinking. They're going to carry Biden across the finish lines at all costs, even if it means they have to censor every single conservative in the United States, including the president of the United States, his family, his cabinet, his secretaries, everybody. They're not blinking.
And the U.S. Senate, indeed, and that, I mean, everybody. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Of course. And that's exactly right. And I agree with you about Donald Trump, actually. I mean, yes, he did have this connection to Twitter. But then again, and this is where he did lack political nous about the way Washington works. He could have found some other vehicle than Twitter. Whatever vehicle he used, the very fact that he was the president of the United States and Donald Trump, it would have come to him. He didn't need Twitter. Twitter needed him. That was the real balance. But, you know, he didn't see it that way. And to be frank, I don't think he understood what an enormous danger the social media giants in the end represented. I think he completely missed this. I think he thought, I mean, I come back to Byron York's book, Obsession, which I've been reading. He thought the people would, once they got to know him, would like him. He thought he'd be able to win the intelligence community over. He reappointed people like James, well, he kept on James Comey, appointed people like Chris Wray, Gina Haspel, or Jan Coates. All of those sort of people, he thought he could win them over. And now 3 weeks before the election, he's discovered what a terrible mistake he's made. But, you know, there we are. I mean, you know, he has to live with that. Unfortunately, so do we. And tragically, so do the American people before this election. What I will say is what I have said many times before. This is the most important election in American history, because if Trump loses in November, and, you know, let's be very plain about this and very frank. These actions that we've just seen make it much more likely now that he will. But if he loses in November, these systems of control, which we are seeing now, will become permanent. Eventually, they will provoke a reaction. But that may not be an attractive thing in itself. I mean, it will introduce an element of instability into the United States, which has never existed before, because up to now, the American people have believed in and trusted in their system of government. When they see it manipulated in this way, they will, beyond a certain point, cease to do so.
I agree with you on that, and we'll wrap it up here. Real quick, we probably won't do a plug, but this is my mug with the American flag, guys. Go to the Durant Shop, help us out. We need you now more than ever.
More than ever, absolutely, yeah.
And PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Alexander, to wrap it up, some quick thoughts. I have two thoughts that I want to run by you. Mm. And the first thought is a quick one. And, you know, it struck me that isn't it kind of poetic justice in a way that under normal circumstances, Biden would have to resign. If this was normal thinking, logical, normal feet on the ground world.
Any other election. I mean, by the way, I mean, can I just say, because I mean, the fact is we've known about this baggage that Biden has been carrying for years. I mean, the fact is he should never even have been a candidate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
he would not have been a candidate precisely because he had this kind of baggage. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, we have this baggage and it just confirms what we already knew because we have him on tape. At the end of the day, if someone watches the video, any normal person who would have watched that video would have said, okay, this guy needs to resign as vice president of the Obama White House. Anyone that would have seen that video where he said, I wasn't going to give the guy $1 billion unless he fired this person. Who the hell are you to be in another country to tell them who they can hire, who they can fire, or else you're not going to give them U.S. taxpayer money. But anyway, it's interesting that their goal was to get Biden through the finish line and then eventually replace him with Kamala Harris. I find it very ironic, very kind of like a poetic justice, I was saying, in that you have this hard drive that springs up and you have this huge tidal wave of information out now about all the dirt in and around the Biden family. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, you guys wanted Kamala from day one. In a normal world, Biden would resign and it would be Kamala against Trump exactly as you wanted way, way back when all of this started. Kamala was Obama's number two. She was going to be the female Barack Obama. That's what you guys wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
And now you're finally going to get it. But okay, but the social media companies and the mainstream media stepped in. By the way, not one cable news network has reported on the Hunter Biden story. 0 seconds and 0 minutes dedicated to this New York Post breaking news, 0 from CNN, MSNBC, zip. So that's my first thought that I want to run by you. That's kind of ironic that, you know, you wanted Kamala, Biden should resign, and you should get Kamala. That's the right thing, Kamala against Trump. That was the matchup you guys wanted from the get-go. That's what you wanted. And then you concoct this Joe Biden, this, you know, get him in and we'll do a switch.
I just have to assume that the reason that didn't happen was that in the end they did polling and they realized that Kamala, with all the advantages, would still not win against Trump. So they needed somebody who, you know, they could just pass, get over the finishing line. And Biden was that person. So, I mean, that tells you a great deal about Kamala Harris at the end of the day. I mean, I agree, by the way, that the ultimate intention is that she will become the president. By the way, I remember thinking this time last year that she would probably be the Democrats' candidate because, I mean, she seemed to me to tick all the boxes. You know, that was my private view. But obviously, she bombed, as we know. She failed completely in the primaries. She didn't win a single primary. She wasn't
She didn't even make it.
She didn't even make it, exactly. So she pulled out. So the only way they could leverage her in was by making her vice president. There was no chance that they would accept Bernie Sanders. And there was no chance, I suspect, that Bernie Sanders would have had her as vice president. So they had to bring in Joe Biden, who at least has, you know, a 47-year history in US politics. And I think that was really where their problem was. And I'm going to say this. I don't think they expected that this computer repairman in Delaware would come along and throw this whole thing into chaos in the way that he has. And I'm going to say something else. I strongly suspect, in fact, I entirely believe that they didn't really want to do what they are doing now. I think what the plan was that they would get Joe Biden across the finishing line, and then they would start to tighten up, but do so much more insidiously. This has forced their hand to take far more dramatic and public action than they ever intended to do. And it has had the effect of exposing them. So that, I think, is where this has gone wrong to a great extent. But there we are.
No, look, I agree with you there, but my next point on all of this is that if they succeed, and I think now their chances have been greatly enhanced that if Biden is not going to be resigning, I think they're just going to resort to a policy of completely suppressing this, wiping out anybody that even mentions the word New York and Post in the same sentence, just completely obliterating them.
An old mainstream, very well-established mainstream newspaper in the United States, by the way, by no means, you know, a new alternative or independent media site. But there we are.
Yeah. And they're going to go with Biden. Mm. They're going to wipe out anybody and everybody that mentions this, social media, MSM, you name it. They're all in on it. They've gotten the marching orders.
Yeah.
This is their new task in the next 3 weeks. And actually, I think they're going to go on the offensive and they're going to be proactive to wipe out anybody who they think might actually say something good about Trump and negative against Biden, Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. Yes, so I think they're actually going to be proactive about it as well. Yes. They're going to wipe them off. And if they succeed and they do get Biden over the finish line and Biden to win, the polls, I don't believe the polls, but I have to say it for our viewers, and I know our viewers might jump on me by me saying them. I don't believe them, but I do have to say that the polls have even widened now more in Biden's favor.
Yes.
I mean, 538 is now putting it at, let me give you the exact number, at plus 10.4 for Biden. Yes. It's actually trending upwards, and this is as of yesterday.
Yes.
So they're going to, if they succeed and they get Biden in, then it is the end of the United States of America as we know it. And I'm not being dramatic. It really is, because it's game over. These companies then are just going to, coupled with all the lockdown stuff, they're just going to put a mass clamp down on everything.
Well,
that's
how
it's going to work. And it'll be President Kamala Harris. And that's it.
Well, I mean, we've discussed this before. We've discussed how Nancy Pelosi's plan, you know, that she will use the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump. We've discussed how the 25th Amendment has been looked at. We've talked about Russiagate. We've seen what the media has been doing over the course of Russiagate. We've seen all these extraordinary and untrue stories that have been floated, the way in which the media reported the bounties, the Russian bounties to the Taliban story, and continues to repeat it even after it's been described. So, yes, we are looking at a very, very difficult time for the United States. It's a huge country. It's a very vital country. It has come through bad times before. But I've never seen anything happen like this. I studied American history and I've never known a time like this. So what will come, what will happen beyond that, I really can't say.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is an attack on the United States from I guess a place that not many people saw it coming from.
No, but it's always that way. It always happens like that. It's never the people you expect to be the problem. I mean, it's not, you know, the Communist Party as people thought it would be in the 50s. It's not the Ku Klux Klan. It's not people like that. It's always the people who, you know, are in the inner circle of power and are given too much power. We have an expression in Britain going back to the Middle Ages, the overmighty subject, the person who is more powerful than the king himself. And that's what we have.
Yeah. I wonder if Trump understands what's happening.
He's
there's always an executive order. There's always something that can be done, but I wonder if he understands the gravity of it all.
He's a clever man, and I think he does understand it, and he could issue an executive order. But the trouble is, what difference would that make now? Would people pay any attention to it? If the bureaucracy thinks that he's going to be gone in a few months, remember, if he loses in November, he's still technically president until January, unless Nancy Pelosi springs the 25th Amendment and gets him out earlier, which he might very well do. But, you know, he will be living on very much borrowed time. The bureaucracy won't pay any attention, it seems to me, to any executive order that he makes. You can't just sign a piece of paper and expect that people will do as you say. That has been, by the way, one of the lessons we've learned over the last 4 years. Last year, Donald Trump ordered the declassification of all the Russiagate documents. Did they appear? No. He's just ordered it again. Have they appeared since he made that decision? Again, no. So why suppose that him signing an executive order now is going to make any difference? If he'd signed an executive order like this in 2017, well, we would have been looking at a different situation.
Yeah, and I don't want to go on too long, but listening to you, I'll give you this is definitely my final thoughts. That's why Jack Dorsey gave the statement he did, because I think he knows something that we don't know. In other words, he's saying, stuff it, because I know that we're going to get Trump out, or at least in his mind. And maybe the people who run him, who actually own him, are also telling him, Jack, don't worry, we're going to get this guy out. And in a normal world, once again, I'll go back to a normal world, a normal business environment, you have, say, three big tech companies, say, yes, Google, Facebook, Twitter. Let's put those three just for now.
Yeah.
In a normal world, if I was the CEO of, say, Google, YouTube, Google, I would sit there and I would put a message out to all my workforce, to all my staff, and say, guys, don't you dare censor anybody this next 2-3 weeks, because I see our competition, Facebook and Twitter, are burying themselves by censoring people, and they're going to lose market share. They're going to have investigations thrown on them. Their stocks are going to go down because of what they're doing. So guys, I see an opportunity for us to really gobble up market share, to see our competitors go down the tubes. So don't do anything, play it cool, and just watch them bury themselves. But that's not what we see happening. We see all three and four and five and six, all of them doing the same exact thing and actually ramping it up.
Well, I agree. I agree. By the way, I mean, you know, Google has actually been the most restrained up till now of the tech companies. Perhaps there's some person there listening to what you've just said, because it seems to me it makes basic business sense. But I don't really expect it any more than I think you do. So, you know, that's you're absolutely right. But that is the absolute, it's not just good business sense to do that. It's also consistent with what they claim to be, a platform. If they're a platform, they don't censor in this fashion. You don't censor the President of the United States, the US government, the Senate, the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Republican Party, the New York Post. You don't do those sort of things. That's not what a platform does. That's what a censor does.
All right, we'll leave it there. Take care, everybody.